Thank the Lord for this opportunity again to be together. I appreciate this congregation. I appreciate the way that you endeavor to carry out the teachings of the Bible and reaching out and ministering to others and praying for the sick, being interested in the affairs of others. That became evident to me by the crowd that I saw there at Gina last weekend. It did something to me that I can't express with words. I can't explain the feeling to see, be in the chapel there and see the different faces that came in to visit. It was special. And I think that's what the Lord wants us to do, to reach out and help, to be of assistance, to be of encouragement to others that are, I don't like to say less fortunate than we are, but the folks there don't have a pastor. And they're just a small group of them. And how much they enjoyed having their little chapel just almost filled to capacity, and to be able to serve a meal afterward for everyone to stay and visit and to enjoy. It's just something that you could tell there was a spark in their eyes. They just enjoyed that. They really feasted on that. And Sister Virginia said it's something that they'll feast on for a long time. So I want to extend again to the congregation here my expression of thanksgiving for that. I know today is Mother's Day, and I appreciate and respect the mothers of the world who endeavor to do everything they can to bring their children up in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, do the best they can. I realize that some are handicapped, but still in all, they do what they can and try to hold the family unit together, trying to teach the children, show them love, tender side, warm touch, a caress, pull the blankets up at night around the children and caring for the babies. There's an impact there that we sometimes take for granted if we're not careful. And I'm thankful for the way that God has ordained this and the way He set it up. Now, my message today is not a Mother's Day message. I don't look at the different holidays as being anything special as far as time to address from the pulpit. The Lord doesn't count those days like we count them. But I do want to say that I appreciate the mothers of the world that endeavor and strive to bring forth the children and raise them, rear them in the way that's pleasing to the Lord. But I have a burden on my heart this morning I'd like to work with. And I would title this, I guess, Vessels Sanctified. Vessels Sanctified. Now, I didn't look up a definition, dictionary definition of sanctified, but I know what it means. Set apart. Something that is sanctified is set apart. And it's set apart for a particular use. In the Old Testament, we read in the book of Exodus, where when the temple was being constructed, the tabernacle that was portable, carried about by the children of Israel, all the articles that were put together in that temple, the articles that were used in the holy place, in the most holy place, they were sanctified. Or they were set apart for particular use, a particular service. And, of course, we realize that the Old Testament system of worship is a type of things to come. That God was, if you will, putting a road map out for people to see and follow and recognize that would point them someday to a new covenant, something that was more excellent than the first covenant. We read in Revelations 12th chapter, I believe, the woman clothed with the sun, who had the moon under her feet. We read that she was, it was an extremely bright picture that was there in contrast to everything else that was portrayed. The woman that was clothed with the sun and the brightness that was about her was the Christian church, the early Christian church, the gospel dispensation. The moon being under her feet was a symbol of the old covenant. And we all know that the moon, the literal moon, borrows its light from the sun. The reflection that we see, as bright as that moon is on a full moon night when the sky is clear, and you can walk outside almost unencumbered with the darkness. You can see how to get around. I enjoy going outside at night on a bright full moon and just looking around. You can see the trees. You can see the colors. You can see, make out some colors. And you can see where to walk. It's very clear. You see the shadows cast on the ground just almost as if it were day. But there's a special aura of that I enjoy. There's something beautiful about that. As I look up there, I realize that orb has borrowed its light, or it's a reflection of the sun that I can't see. It's on the other side of the earth from me, but the light that is shining there is bouncing back to the earth, and it causes me to think of the real light that is there that will come in the morning. This is just a reflection. This is just for time being, for the night. And when the morning comes, that sun will peek over the horizon, and the light of the day will shine. And that's what the gospel dispensation is. The Old Testament covenant was the shadows and types of the beautiful things to come. And when the Lord God saw fit to introduce this gospel dispensation, it was a bright, bright light that shone in the hearts of mankind. Well, these vessels that are in the temple have been set apart for a specific use. We read in Exodus, the 40th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, Exodus 49, "And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy." Now, do you remember the holy anointing oil, and how particular the Lord was about the mixture or the construction of the holy anointing oil? He was very particular about that. And he said it was only to be used for a specific use, and that was in the tabernacle. And it was for anointing the vessels that were in the tabernacle. And he was very clear and very plain and very easy to understand. There wasn't any question about it. He didn't want anything made like unto it. He didn't want it copied in any way. There was a specific recipe, if you will, that he wanted followed for the holy anointing oil. And it was to be employed for a specific use, and that was the only use that it was to be employed for. The articles that were in the temple, in the tabernacle, the holy place and the most holy place, they had their individual use that they were sanctified for, or they were set apart for. That when the priest came in to minister, each one of these provided their use in the temple. The golden candlestick that never went out, that was never to go out, that oil was kept in that vessel all the time, was to provide light. That was its use. And it was never to go out, and we see that as being an emblem of the light that is to shine forever in our hearts and in our lives. That is never to be gone out, and even in this world, the gospel dispensation, that light is never to go out. It's always to be tended. That's what the candlestick was for. I'm not going to try to go through each one of those articles and name their place, but suffice it to say that each one had its own distinct and individual place that God ordained it to be used for, and it was sanctified and it was anointed for that purpose. And as such, it was to be used for that purpose and that purpose alone. Now, when that was all done, as I look at the heading of chapter 40 in my Bible, down in the 34th verse, it tells me that a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. Now, when everything was set in order, everything was in its place, and the instructions had been followed just as they were spelled out, and the anointing oil had been placed on each one of these articles in the temple, each one set apart or sanctified, if you will, for its particular use, placed in the place that God wanted it to be set in, and each one finished as it was directed of the Lord, how it was to be constructed, when all was said and done, all was placed in order, there came the time for the Lord to come on the scene and put His approval on that. And He blessed that. And He put a cloud over that. And it says in other places that the people were not able to minister for reason of the cloud, because the glory of the Lord came down. The glory of God came and filled that place, and it was a magnificent thing. There was something that was awe. The people were awestruck to look upon that scene. They trembled. They feared. Well, folks, the power of God is something to be respected. It is something to be acknowledged. The glory of the Lord that comes down in our lives when we are sanctified and set apart for the Master's use, when we're willing to accept that holy anointing oil that will come and set us apart, set us aside for a particular use. And each one of us has our particular place that the Lord wants us to fill. When we fill that, when we step into that place and we're willing to accept what God has for me and we work together in that, God blesses that. He anoints that. He gives His approval on that. And when we sit together in heavenly places in situations like that, His Spirit comes down and blesses us. And we recognize the benefit of that. Now, it wasn't always a peaceful situation for the children of Israel. They had their enemies. And they made their mistakes. And there were times that they went up to battle and there were things in the way that God couldn't bless, and He had to give instruction, He had to give reproof, rebuke over those things. And when they humbled themselves and accepted God's correction, He blessed. He would give them their victories. But if they disobeyed and they chose their own way, their own human ability, their own thinking, God wasn't in that. But any time that they used the things that God had ordained and set in order and sanctified it, and He put His approval on it, anointed it, He blessed that. There came a time when Nebuchadnezzar overthrew the government, the kingdom of Israel. And you remember how he caused all of the vessels to be taken. Now, I don't know how long they were put in storage, but I thought of that, of those vessels that were there. And I know we have description of them. But I wonder what it was about those vessels that were so unique, maybe, or so special, that they wanted to carry those down to Babylon. Maybe it was their value, because there were many that were out of gold. And maybe that was what was so attractive to Nebuchadnezzar and his princes, was the value in the gold, because there was a lot of gold involved in that. Gold was, and is, still one of the most valuable metals and stable metals for placing a value on that there is today. So Nebuchadnezzar took those down to Babylon. And he told the Israelites, the Lord told the Israelites while they were there, you remember, I realize that you're in bondage now. I realize that you face a difficult place. But yet you're my people. I want you to go down there, and even though you're in captivity, I want you to build houses. I want you to plant gardens. I want you to plant vineyards. I want you to marry. I want you to bring children. I want you to do everything that you did back in the land of Israel. I know you're in captivity, but I want you to bring forth just as you've always done. I want you to go forth and prosper there just like you did in Israel. And I know it was difficult for them. I know it wasn't an easy thing, but still this was God's people that He had put His approval on. He had set them apart. He had sanctified them from other nations of the world. And when they did that, they went down there and the Lord blessed them. He blessed them while they were there, even in captivity. Remember, they were sanctified. And all that time, those vessels were down in Babylon. I don't know how many. I don't know all that they carried down there, but it was something that was very special. And the most important part of it is for us to remember that these were vessels sanctified. All of these articles that were taken by the king Nebuchadnezzar, taken out of their right and proper place in the temple worship,
were vessels sanctified. Remember, they were anointed. They were vessels sanctified. They now have been carried out of their proper place and into a land of confusion, Babylon. Well, we'll go to Daniel. It's another familiar passage. Daniel, 5th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Read about Belshazzar. You remember Belshazzar? Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Now this term 1,000, I don't know that it just means 1,000. I suspect that it means much more than that, because in the old Bible time the term 1,000 meant just a great number. A great number. Folks, they didn't think in terms like you and I think today of millions and billions and trillions. The numbers that they used, thousands and ten thousands, were almost like infinity to them. So here, Belshazzar is making a feast to 1,000 of his lords, or to a great number of his lords, and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Now here, Belshazzar, he's tasted the wine. And it's begun to have its effect. It doesn't mean that he just had a sip of it and it was good and he wanted to use these vessels now. He had tasted the wine, means that he had partaken of the wine. He had imbibed the wine, and it had begun to have its effect on him. He had felt its heat. He had felt the effects of it, the merriment that it can bring, the lightheartedness that it can bring. That was the purpose of this wine, for them to have a good time, a mellowing, if you will. But it had an effect on Belshazzar to the point that it caused him perhaps to lose some reasoning. Now, I don't know if this had ever happened before, if they'd ever been tempted to do this before. I don't know. But here we have a record that Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, he made a decision to send for the vessels sanctified. To send for the vessels that God had chosen and ordained and anointed to be placed in holy worship service. In holy sanctified. Set apart for no other use. So here they come. They bring the vessels sanctified to Belshazzar. And they decided to go ahead and drink in them. They brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Now here, these vessels sanctified were being profaned, being polluted. They're being put to a use that was never intended to be used by the Lord for. And while they were doing that, Belshazzar and his great crowd there with him decided it's time now to praise these gods of gold and brass and silver. They had gods many, but it was the God, the one true God, that sanctified these vessels, that designed them and called them to be put to a specific use. Belshazzar disturbed that order. Belshazzar stepped out of his place and he disturbed what God had ordained. And we read the effects of that, folks. Oh, it brought God's attention to what was going on here. When they stepped out, when Belshazzar made the choice and he made the decision to step out of totally, completely, out of the original design and use for what these vessels were sanctified for, it got God's attention. And he looked on that scene and he saw what was going on there. They polluted my things. They profaned my things. These were vessels sanctified. These were things that I chose, that I wanted to use in my service, for my people, for recognition of me, for my worship. But now they've profaned these things. Oh, it brought God's attention to it quickly, folks. He saw what was going on in there. These are vessels sanctified. Oh, folks, let's remember. Vessels sanctified. set apart for the Master's use. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be third ruler in the kingdom." Now think of the scene here, folks. All the merriment, all that's going on, the wonderful party, the beautiful palace, the beautiful vessels that were there. And all of a sudden, a man's hand shows in the room. The fingers of a man's hand, with a writing instrument there. And he writes on the wall a phrase. Vessel sanctified. And he writes this phrase on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. What is this that he said? What is this, Belshazzar said, that we see on the wall? It changed his countenance. He turned pale. He turned white. He shook with fear. This was not a normal occurrence. These were vessels sanctified, and God saw what was going on, and now he's going to bring the attention to what's going on here. All right, so enter Daniel. Daniel comes in, and he tells the king, this is the interpretation of what is on this wall, Daniel, Belshazzar rather. He says, God has numbered your kingdom. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And your kingdom is divided. Now, that was a very scary thing for a king to hear. You, king, you've been weighed in the balance. God has numbered your kingdom. And you've been found wanting. And now you face a division in your kingdom. Now, I'd like to go... Remember, these were vessels sanctified. Belshazzar took it upon himself to disturb that. And he paid the price because that night the Medes and the Persians overtook him. He lost his life that very night. Now I'd like to go to 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. 21st verse. 2 Timothy 2:21. Let me read verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now let's take a little time to think, folks. What does it mean to be sanctified? What does it mean to be set apart? What does it mean for each one of us to be in the place that God wants us to be in? What does it mean for us to do the things that the Lord has ordained for us to do? What does it mean for me to step outside of the place where I am not effective and I'm working against or in contrary to what the Lord has for me? I'm sanctified. And we realize and recognize that not everyone has the same calling and not everyone has the same gift, but there are vessels. Even in the Lord's worship in the temple, he had vessels of gold, and he had vessels of silver, and he had vessels of brass, and no doubt there were vessels of stone. There were vessels there of wood. There were vessels of clay. There were different items and articles that were used there. for the Lord's purpose of carrying out and conducting the worship service in the Old Testament, the Old Tabernacle worship. And it was all ordained of God. There were many different vessels, but they were each one sanctified. Vessels sanctified, set apart for that service. It wasn't that one was any more special than the other, but they were all sanctified of God. They were all blessed and anointed of the Lord. Oh, let's be careful that we not disturb. That we not disturb or allow it to be disturbed. What God has ordained in our hearts, in our lives, in our individual lives, in our congregations, in the camp of the saints, that we not disturb the things that God has sanctified, that we not misuse or abuse the things that God has ordained, that He has set apart for His use. It's a careful, close walk, folks. It'll get the attention of God if we start to misuse or abuse the things that He has allowed to be in our midst. If He has allowed there to be certain gifts in our midst, if He has allowed there to be certain prophecies, if He's allowed there to be certain teachings, if He's allowed there to be certain blessings that He's put His anointing on, His approval on, that we not abuse those things. That we recognize the importance of them, that these are vessels sanctified, meet for the Master's use. And each one of us, folks, each one of us should press the desire from the Lord that we each one be a vessel sanctified, meet for the Master's use. Set apart for the use of the Lord. Set apart for Him to work in my life, for Him to bless in my life, to bless in my family, to bless in my community, in the congregation, in the entire camp of the saints. A vessel sanctified. A vessel put there and used for the Lord, by the Lord, for whatever means He has for it to be used. And when He does, when we do, when He anoints and He blesses in our lives, and we use those things that He has given to us, we incorporate them in our lives, in our worship services, is when the cloud comes. The pillar of cloud comes, and the glory of the Lord comes, and we receive the blessing and the anointing and the overflowing of the Spirit of the Lord. And that's how, folks, we are then able to reach out to others. When we have overflow. Oh, we need overflow. I don't need just enough for me. I know it how it is sometimes. I feel kind of dry at times. Lord, I need something from You. I need a blessing from You. I need a special outpouring from You. And the Lord is faithful when we will set ourselves apart to be a vessel sanctified, meet for the Master's use. He will do that. He'll grant that desire. When our desire then is to reach out to others. Reach out to others. And not to praise the gods of gold and brass and silver. Not to praise the gift that I have or the special blessing that I have, but I recognize that God has ordained it and anointed it and allowed me to have it. And it's only for His use. That'll draw God's attention. If we start to abuse or misuse the vessels sanctified. I'd like to go to Romans. First chapter. Here, Paul is writing to these Romans. Now, folks, it was a miracle what had happened here in Rome. For these people to be introduced to Christianity, to accept it. It was a miracle of all that had happened there and how much they enjoyed at the hands of Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here, Paul is writing to these folks. Seventh verse. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Called to be saints. Grace to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now each one of us have been called. God didn't put us here just to take up space. God didn't allow us to be born into this world just a heap to myself. There's a special place that God has for every one of us
in His vineyard.
There's a special place that He has for each one of us in His kingdom, in His work. All His desire was from the very beginning to be able to commune with man. I think so many times of the scripture there in Genesis where God walked with him in the cool of the day. And oh, how blessed that must have been. How pure and how peaceful. How quiet and how calm and how reassuring that must have been to have God Himself come down in the garden with two people and pay them a special visit. Oh, how wonderful, wonderful that would be to have that experience that goes on forever and ever. Adam, where are you? I'm right here, Lord. Adam, let's go sit down and have a little visit for a while. Here's a good stone for us to sit on. Let's sit down here and visit. And in my mind, I envision God putting His arm around. Beautiful, blessed communion. God opening up His heart, His mind to Adam. What His plan is and what He wants. But Adam fell. Folks, today, God is doing that and wants to do that with each one of us. I know it doesn't happen literally, but if you've ever experienced a visitation from God, you know what I'm talking about. When you maybe feel alone, or you have sought the Lord for something, and you've waited patiently for the answer to come, and when the time comes for the Lord to give that answer, it's almost that same type of experience. Let's go sit down a little while. I want to tell you what I got in mind for you. I want to tell you the answer that you've been asking for a while about this thing. You've been praying for this, and now it's time for me to give you the answer. So let's go sit down and talk about this for a while. And we sit down together in this place, and He puts His arm around me, and I put my arm around Him, and we commune a little while. Vessels sanctified. Called to be saints. That's what each one of us, folks, each one of us have been called to something high. Each one of us have been called to a walk with the Lord, to where we can walk in purity and holiness. We can walk side by side, lockstep, hand in hand with Him. And in so doing, we do it with one another. Let's not disturb that. See, when we disturb that calling, there's a penalty involved. Just as Belshazzar paid the penalty. He disturbed those vessels. He disturbed their use. I don't know how long they would have been there dormant. I can't understand and comprehend all of that. I know they were out of their place. I know they weren't being incorporated for the use that God wanted them to be used for, and He wasn't pleased with that. But I know that He certainly wasn't pleased for them to be profaned. Vessels sanctified. My call, my charge, my burden to us each one is that we accept this call. Now listen to this again. To all that be in Rome, He says here. But let's just say wherever. To all that be beloved of God. Called to be saints. Grace to you. Grace to you. What is grace? Unmerited favor of God. Divine favor to you, He says. Grace to you, everyone. You've been called to be saints. Now grace to you. Accept it. It's not impossible. It's not a task that can't be accomplished. It's not a feat that is so difficult that it can't be done. Because there is grace. Opportunity. God has it. He wouldn't call us to be these things if He didn't have a means of us attaining them. So it's possible. It's there for us each one. We'll accept it. Grace to you and peace. Have you accepted? This is these folks that accepted it. So He says grace and peace. Peace to you. Belshazzar didn't have peace that night. When that hand came and wrote on the wall, many mene tekel upharsin. It took all of the peace away. All of the heat and warmth that the wine could afford and offer to him was taken away in an instant. He sobered up right quick. He turned white. His knees smote with one another. And he cried aloud because of fear. So will we. So will we. God has called us to be vessels sanctified, meet for the Master's use. Been called to be saints. So let's accept that. Let's step up to that. Let's do all that we can understand and comprehend to fill the place God would have me to fill in this world, in His church, in His worship. Because, folks, each one of us, as I look out here today, I see so much potential. As I look in the faces of people, I looked there at the assembly this year, I looked out at those young faces out there in the crowd. So much potential. So much opportunity. So much life. So much enthusiasm. So much vigor. So many vessels there to be used, to be employed by the Lord, if they'll just be sanctified, meet for the Master's use, and not disturb the plan that God has designed. Because the truth is, this is what happens. When you don't accept God's plan for you, and when you misapply the use of the vessel, which is you, me, if I misuse or abuse myself, I am the vessel. It brings God's judgment. So when you sit in a meeting, anytime under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you feel that feeling inside, the fear, the quaking, the recognition that something is amiss in my life, it's the finger writing on the wall. That's what it is. It's because there has been a disturbing of the vessel. It hasn't been employed in its proper use. And it brings God's attention to you individually, to me. If I step out of the favor of God in His love and His mercy, He wants this vessel to be sanctified, meet for the Master's use. But in His love, He'll send the handwriting on the wall. And that's what causes us all to fear and quake before the Lord. I remember the time. I remember the very first time that happened to me. My knuckles turned white as I held onto that bench. I felt so weak. I felt like I was about to pass out. And I felt like it wasn't possible for these legs to support me to make those steps down that aisle. Why? Why? Because the handwriting was on the wall. You heard that expression? It's fairly common. The handwriting's on the wall. That is a reference to Belshazzar and what he saw that night. The handwriting is on the wall. And if we'll not accept the call to be saints, mene tekel upharsin. Thank you for your attention.